Shalom, everyone. The 12-day war between Israel and Iran has come to a conclusion with a ceasefire. The B-2 bombers flying from the United States delivered bunker busters bombs, hit the Iranian nuclear sites, and devastated them. Iran has retaliated to save face, but essentially has given up. U.S. Democrats, of course, have lost their minds with Trump's success in the war, and Israel is now turning their attention again to Gaza and finding the hostages and getting them returned. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to Messianic World Update. Today's date is Thursday, June 26th of the year 2025. We're coming one day early because of a scheduling conflict. So here's the news for the week. At the last broadcast that we had a week ago, we shared with you, we had rumors, but we didn't have it confirmed that something was going to happen last weekend. Well, it did. On Saturday, it suddenly here came the announcement from the president, from the White House, B-2 bombers had been sent into Iran and had struck those nuclear sites. The Trump administration had obviously done a little misdirection there, suggesting, for example, that Iran had 2 weeks to decide. There was also rumors flying that the B-2s had flown out, flying into the Pacific, flying toward Guam, and it didn't look like there was any bombers approaching Iran, when in truth of fact, another group of bombers took off from Missouri, flew east across the Atlantic, through the Mediterranean Sea, crossed Israel, Jordan, and on into Iran, striking Iranian targets Saturday night. Iran was totally silent, did not fire a single shot. Quite honestly, they didn't know it was coming. And it was a 30-hour mission for those bombers, many refueling sites along the way. As a military operation, it was flawless, and it was an incredible event for the U.S. military to pull off. They unloaded 14 of those big 30,000-pound bunker busters. 12 of them went into Fordo, another 2 of them went into Natanz, hitting the air shafts and the entrances into it. In addition to that, the U.S. Navy, from submarines, launched 30 TLAMs, those are Tomahawk land attack missiles with high explosives, and they flew in a coordinated strike to go along with the bunker busters. Now, Trump was very excited about the news when he got to announce it, announcing that the sites had been utterly destroyed. He didn't have any battle damage assessment to support that. His enthusiasm was about the fact that the strike had been completed, that nobody was hurt, no planes were lost, and they pulled it off as a success. It was a simple mission complete kind of statement. However, because he gave this adjective that it was utterly destroyed, it was obliterated, and so forth, everybody started taking note of that. And of course, all military people were saying, Mr. President, how do you know that? We haven't done the BDA or the bomb damage assessment yet. Well, the next question was, will Iran retaliate against the Americans? And they had threatened and said they would. So sure enough, Iran did launch 14 missiles. By the way, 14 bunker busters, and they launched 14 missiles at a U.S. base in Qatar. Those missiles did no damage. They were all shot down, and it was very clear to the U.S. military and to Israel, this was a face-saving mode for Iran. Yes, we retaliated. We were not expecting to carry on, and it's clear that Iran didn't want to fight anymore. Not only was there no damage and no harm done, it was a clear signal that Iran was ready to discuss terms. So with the U.S. figuring out Iran is done, they don't want any more war, Trump was able to quickly move in and get a ceasefire between Israel and Iran. Israel, of course, doesn't want any more ballistic missiles flying into Israel. Their objectives have been accomplished. The nuclear sites have been shut down. Iran doesn't want any more Israeli aircraft bombing the smithereens out of everything they find. And they really didn't want a war with the U.S. They could have lost even more. So the ceasefire went into effect. Trump, of course, has been nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. I'm sure he's very happy about that. But in reality, the ceasefire is holding. Israel is picking up the pieces now and trying to recover from the damage that's been done, and they were hurt by Iran. More than 36 civilians were killed. Hundreds were wounded. Many homes were demolished. Hospitals were hit. And the three primary targets that Iran went off were the city of Haifa, Tel Aviv, and Beersheba. And those areas were hit, and it was civilian structures that were primarily hit. For Iran's part, they have suffered a death of their military leadership. All of their key leaders have been killed. The key scientists that were working on their nuclear program, they've all been killed. Massive destruction throughout Iran, all of the military targets, anything associated with building ballistic missiles, missile launchers, drone factories, anything to do with the nuclear program, they've all been decimated. Iran's strategy all along was to overwhelm Israel with a lot of ballistic missiles and then have their proxy ground forces come across the border attacking civilians in Israel with this big umbrella of ballistic missiles coming in. That strategy has utterly failed. And it's very clear now that Iran is seriously damaged. In fact, it's going to take a good 10 years for their country to recover just to get back to being level. Everything is shaky in Iran right now. Now, there was a Defense Intelligence Agency preliminary report that came out very shortly after the bombing run. And that report apparently was leaked. We're not quite sure who did it, but whoever did leak it, I hope they find the person. I hope they charge them with treason. And I hope they throw them in prison for the rest of their lives. That report is simply the initial report looking at satellite photos the day after the bombing. It was skeptical of the damage done to underground elements. And the reason why it was is because the report simply could not say what was done underneath the ground. It could only report on what it saw from the satellites. Given the fact that the bombs were 200-foot penetration weapons, but the facility was at 300 feet, it's natural for them to raise the question, did we really hit deep down in where the centrifuges were? Did we do that much damage to the site? The report simply was reporting what they knew and without further evidence. And they couldn't say that the sites were wiped out. So immediately, all of the anti-Trump media with this leaked report jumped all over this, and the Democrats went nuts along with the U.S. legacy media. Of course, challenging that what Trump did was a mistake. Hey, we didn't really destroy the sites. Now, what's Iran going to do? They're probably going to build another bomb in 2 weeks, and now we really have a bigger problem. However, they failed to address the fact that these bombs, when they go down there, it's not just the explosive center of the bomb. They also produce a concussion. And that concussion can travel down corridors, hallways, vent shafts, and so forth. It was clear from the intel report that all support buildings and facilities above ground were totally and utterly obliterated, just like the president said. The question is, how much damage was down inside? Well, the press was jumping all over it. They were challenging Trump on it and so on. And finally, Trump finally came out and made a statement. And here's essentially what he said, that Mossad was able to go to the bomb site right after the bombing was done, and they did the on-site inspection. You probably don't remember it, but there was this interesting bombing run that was done by Israel on the Fordo site the very next day after the bombing run done by the B-2s. They didn't go and bomb Fordo again. They instead blew up the roads leading to Fordo so that the Iranians couldn't drive down to Fordo and see what had happened. Why in the world did Israel do that? Why blow up a road that can easily be repaired later on? Well, it turns out that while that road was being blown up, that gave time for Mossad agents, which were in Iran, to go to the site and examine the site on the ground there very quickly. And according to their assessment, they believe that the underground facility was obliterated. Here's the reason why. They were looking at the debris field that was from all the material that had been blown out of the hole, and they were discovering there were pieces of debris on the surface that had come from the center of the complex, which would be an indicator that there was great damage and destruction that took place down there. Also, the Israelis have come in to say that they don't believe the enriched material that used to be down there was moved away from it. That photo where they showed the trucks that were lining up at Fordo, where some were suggesting in the media that the material had been moved away from there and stored in another place, you don't take enriched uranium and haul it around in dump trucks, even though it is 900 pounds of it. Dump trucks is not a secure way to move radioactive material. So they believe the material is down inside, and at this point they believe it's basically buried with the other equipment that is down there. Now, what's more significant is that the Iranian regime is hanging by a thread. Khamenei has come out and finally made a public statement. He's claimed that they were victorious over the United States and Israel and that they will never surrender. And of course, we expected those statements to come out of him. In Iran itself, massive arrests are now taking place and there's executions going on in Iran. They're claiming that they've captured three Mossad agents and hung them. Hundreds have been arrested that were supportive of what was going on with the U.S. and with Israel. So it's more recriminations than it's typical for the regime. And all they're doing is infuriating the general population more and more. Whether or not the general population can rise up against them is still yet to be determined. The question is, what could possibly happen? How would it happen? We just don't know yet. Israel now is very clearly the only superpower in the Middle East. And Russia and China are definitely taking note of what has taken place. Their ability to pull off the military operations they did have gone off the scales way beyond what anybody could have ever hoped for. They've done things in the military that have not been done, and they've used their weapons and their platforms to great success. Trump has also demonstrated his ability to make key decisions. I'm sure the Chinese are looking at how President Trump has played all of this, misdirecting the enemy to think one thing while doing something else. Very decisive in his leadership. And that is probably getting the Chinese to wonder, do we really want to be that aggressive with Taiwan? It appears Trump would be very responsive to that, although that hasn't been said. That's how you read the leadership at the national level when you have these kinds of events. There were many military and intel operations in Iran carried out by the U.S. and Israel. We don't yet know all of the stories, but I'm sure the stories will be coming out, and I'm certain that they are going to be fascinating stories to learn of all the details and how Israel and the United States was able to pull off what we've seen in the last 12 days. The bottom line is this: there definitely is a God in Israel. He does not slumber nor sleep, and Iran now understands that the God of Israel certainly is competition for Allah. The Iranian parliament did meet this just the other day, and along with Khamenei and so forth, and you'll be happy to know that they all got together out of their seats and down there on the main floor, and they're all dancing and chanting, death to America, death to Israel. They haven't learned anything at all, but at this point, they've been slapped down so hard, the only thing left they can do is yell and scream, and they can go ahead and yell and scream all they want. The Iranian Republican Guard has failed Iran. Their strategies, strategic as well as tactical, have failed. Their leadership has failed. They have failed to use their equipment correctly. They failed to understand their enemy. And quite honestly, Israel has wiped up the floor with them. Here in America, the Democrats appear to look dumber than those people in Iran. the Democrats have decided to jump all over President Trump for what he's done, even though it's a great success, and Israel's done great success. They all want to play politics and accuse him that he's offended the Constitution. He didn't have the authority or the right to do what he did. It is sheer, ridiculous nonsense. The history of this country with past presidents has had many military engagements, killing enemies at various junctures and times, including Trump, including Obama, including Biden. And the Democrats didn't have a problem then. The only problem they have is because it's President Trump. We used to say in this country, and I remember this as a young man, we used to say that politics is strictly inside the borders of America, that once we leave the borders of America and we go out into other nations, politics ends at the border and we're all Americans. Well, those days apparently are gone, because more than half the Democrats in this country just simply don't like America. And the reason they don't like America is because Trump is the president of America right now, duly elected by the election, by the majority of the citizens. And while they're all screaming that he's destroying democracy, the fact of the matter is, by the democratic process, that's the reason why he is the president. A majority of the American citizens voted for him. But they don't like that, and so they're accusing him falsely of all manner of evil. The midterm elections are going to be coming up pretty soon, and a chance to vote in more congressmen and more senators. And quite honestly, we need to pray in this country that more Democrats are voted out of the House and out of the Senate. We need larger majorities in the House and the Senate to be able to continue to keep things going using, shall we say, common sense. Because right now, the Democrats are not using common sense. They're following a socialist, anti-America agenda. It also includes anti-Israel. And in fact, right now, it's pretty clear for us to understand that if you're pro-Israel and pro-America, as far as they're concerned, you're just another Jew, and they're anti-Jewish against all of us. They have transitioned from complaining about ICE raids and deporting illegal aliens and criminal aliens to all of a sudden pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas, and now it's totally anti-America and anti-US and anti-Israel. It's ridiculous, and it shouldn't be, but it is happening in our nation and around the world. Turning back to Israel and the Gaza war, now that the ceasefire is in effect, the IDF is now turning their full attentions back to Gaza. And this last week, tragically, 7 IDF soldiers traveling in an older armored vehicle, an explosive was attached to it, it blew up, and it killed 7 soldiers that were inside of the armored vehicle. 3 more hostage bodies were found and brought home. And again, operations are carrying out to attack Hamas. Hamas is definitely raiding the humanitarian aid trucks as they come in. And Israel is putting together a plan to find a way to protect those aid trucks, to get the aid to the Palestinian people and keep it away from Hamas. The U.S. is very concerned about that as well, because the world is complaining that Israel is not allowing humanitarian aid. The fact of the matter is, Hamas is killing Palestinians and stealing the aid and then selling it to fund their operations. There's still a lot more work to be done to finish off Hamas inside of Gaza, and that's what's being worked this week. We need to continue to pray for Israel and the Gaza situation. We need to thank God that this war with Iran ended as quickly as it did, being the 12-day war. The president has shown himself, along with the U.S. military, to be very professional and has done, quite honestly, a great job at this point. We hope that that success will continue. Thank you for watching our program. Please like, share, subscribe on our YouTube channel. And also, please check out linealam.tv. That's our subscription service. We offer a free Yahvo monthly magazine. We have podcasts on all of the different platforms for you to do, and a whole array of teaching programs. and including social media, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Telegram, and X. Now, I've been mentioning this to you, but I want you to listen to me very carefully. We have a Feast of Tabernacles event coming up this fall in October. It is an opportunity for like-minded brethren to travel from wherever you're at in the United States, join us here in Oklahoma for an 8-day camp out with teachers, worship, music, to observe the Feast of Tabernacles that we're commanded to do according to the Lord. We want you to seriously set aside the time, plan on coming for us. You need to register for the event, though. Register at Tabernacles at tabernaclesevent.com. Would love to see you come. And here's the reason why you might want to come. Not only great biblical teaching about Israel, but there will be extensive updates on what has all of this done and how does it affect the prophetic timeline and the prophetic scenario that we see coming for the end of the age. These are highly significant events that have transpired, and I'm certain that you'll be interested in knowing about that. There's only 4 more days to support our Stand with Israel fundraiser with Lakat Israel. This is the organization that collects up fresh food that's in Israel, but it's not at the location where people are at, and they are the people who distribute this fresh food, get it to the places where the people need the food. Help us with that organization to fund all the delivery service that they do. This is not done by the government of Israel. This is done by volunteers. So help us out with that. In the meantime, shalom to all of you. And I'll look forward to next week as we continue to watch daily events in the Middle East. Hang on to your seats. You know, still more coming. Shalom, everyone.